This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're with me, Sharad Kutan and Melissa Idris on The Morning Run.
Good morning.
It is the 8th of January and it's time for Pressing Matters, the show where we speak to members of the press about news stories they've covered. This week we have the chief editor of Selangor Kini, Cecilia Alphonsus. Just a quick note, if you don't know or unfamiliar with Selangor Kini and TV Selangor are both under Media Selangor, which is the official media of the Selangor State Government. Cecilia, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Sharad.
So let's start with the kind of setup of Selangor Kini and Selangor TV.
Yeah, so I remember you guys are quite new. So you just set up a couple of years ago, is that right?
Okay. TV Selangor and Selangor Kini, it actually started right after 2008, after the state government change.
Oh, it's been a while.
It's been a long while. But it's only been about 2 years now that there's been a new focus, a new emphasis put into the media for the Selangor state government. So we have actually rebranded ourselves and we call ourselves Media Selangor now, which embodies Selangor Kini, which is our print publication, and TV Selangor, which is our web TV portal.
So, okay, so when we talk to anybody from the media, we always ask, the first question you need to ask is ownership. Ownership and control structures, right? So who owns and controls Selangor Kini and its running?
Okay. Media Selangor is the official media platform for the Selangor state government.
So they own it?
So, yeah. Basically,
so under Menteri Besar Inc, is that?
Yes, okay. It's a subsidiary under Menteri Besar Incorporated. So the subsidiary company is actually called Communication Corporation Sdn Bhd. So our brand, Media Selangor.
And your annual reports and your shareholding structure and, you know, your profit and income and all that, is that made public to the people of Selangor?
It is made public via our reporting towards MBI, but we are actually a non-profit organization. We do not charge subscription. There's no payment of any kind. All our papers are distributed for free.
And there are a few papers, right? So walk us through the different ones. So we know of Selangor Kini, which is weekly Malay language newspaper, would you
call
it?
That's correct, Melissa.
And then what are the others under your stable?
Okay, we also have a newly launched Selangor Journal. Selangor Journal is a English paper which is targeted more towards the urban reader. We used to have Selangor Kini English as well before, but that was purely translated from the Selangor Kini Malay paper. And we soon found that, you know, we have a market, urban market, that is hungering for different types of news about Selangor. So hence, Selangor Journal was born.
What do you mean different kind of news? Sorry, just interrupt.
Different kind of news in the sense that a lot of news about Selangor when it comes out is very political. It's about, you know, the political tussle between federal and state government. So we wanted a platform to share actually what else is going on in Selangor. What else is the government doing? What are the benefits for the people? So we want a platform where we can share these stories. What's happening in Selangor? What are the things we are doing? What can people benefit from? Who are the faces in Selangor that's, you know, moving, doing things, thinkers? So that was how the idea for Selangor Journal came about.
So if the presumption is the mainstream media, many of them controlled by either corporate interests aligned to the Barisan National Government and such, are not sympathetic towards Selangor and might not give you the kind of exposure, give the state government that kind
Correct.
Of exposure. But what about the so-called alternative media, often seen as more friendly towards the federal opposition? In fact, even Selangor Kini kind of resounds of Malaysia Kini. I mean, it's like, oh, is that, you know, you would have thought,
yeah,
you might even...
Sister publication.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Quite a few people thinking that, oh, you're from Malaysia Kini. We're like, no, we're Selangor Kini.
So, okay, so isn't the alternative media filling the gap in that regard, giving you the kind of exposure, especially with regards to people and the movers and shakers and initiatives?
Well, the alternative media is also more interested and more geared towards the political sensationalism. So what is left out is actually what's happening on the ground with, you know, local businesses, with local leaders, our local state representatives. You know, it is the grassroots things. So those kind of events that you don't get that exposure in the mainstream media. Mm. They are more interested in sensationalism. So when I came on board, my mandate was very clear. The Menteri Besar, he was very clear. He wanted Selangor Kini to be a representative of the news about the state, not about political parties, not about political agendas, but what is the government? What are the people in the government-led companies within the state? What are they doing? The GLCs, all the various businesses under the state. What are they doing? What are they doing for the people? How are they helping the people?
Yeah, but you know, alternative media might say that you might charge them with, you know, being sensationalist. But they say, well, we're independent. In fact, we can be critical of the state government, its policies, yes, or maybe, you know, unintended or intended consequences of those policies in the way that media coming out from the state government can't be, because the state, presumably, the media coming out of the state government is going to put their best foot forward, and they're going to be trying to sell those policies. Yeah. So, you know, is there any room for criticism or dissent or differing views?
There is. Even within our Selangor Kini people, we actually do feature politicians from BN. Even it is not to say that it is just purely a paper just to show what the opposition party is doing.
Do you cover also you know, issues to do with Selangor and the Selangor state government in terms of, you know, we've got the Unicel issue, the sand mining controversy, you've got the you know, the political tussle between the three component parties in the Selangor state government, you know, everything from the redelineation exercise. Yes. Do you cover things like that in a critical fashion?
We do cover it. But as I mentioned before, on the mainstream side or even alternative, you still look at the hype that's out there. So our responsibility is to actually see, okay, what is correct? What is out there? What is factually right? And what is the behind story that hasn't come out yet? So it may take time for us to respond with those kind of stories because we want to get the clearer picture on things.
Can you give us, for example, what has been covered or the gaps in the reportage of mainstream media that you've discovered and also felt that you filled?
Oh, it's hard to pinpoint one particular event. What we do is that, okay, for example, when something that is very sensational comes about, we look at it and we say, okay, is this hype? Is this just going to blow away? Is it worth our time to come up with a response? So usually most of the time it's just hype. It is just sensationalism. So we leave it. And as the editorial team, what we look at is, okay, they're pointing figures about us not doing this. So maybe let's show them, okay, what other things we are doing. So indirectly, it may not be a, you know, tit-for-tat response to, oh, the sand mining controversy, oh, this is our response to it. No.
Okay.
But we'll be looking at other things.
You know, the flip side of sensationalism is what actually, in some sense, what the public wants, right? So it might strike people as clickbaity or whatever, but it sells papers, it gets you views. If you do the kind of ground stuff that is kind of important to put out, but boring, I mean, to use
in
quotes.
I know what you mean, Sharad.
Yeah, are you suffering from the consequence of being earnest and boring?
We are striving very hard not to be boring. That's what we are striving. But we are definitely trying to veer away from falling into the trap of sensationalism, of falling into the defensive mechanism. It's like, oh, you know, they're saying this about us. We've got to come out with a response.
Mm-hmm.
No, we don't want to do that.
But, you know, to some extent, looking at some of the papers, they look like newsletters, right? So they'll have, like, you know, that sender spread with all the pictures. It's very newsletter-like.
I thought it was a newsletter at first. I got confused whether it falls under newsletter category or newspaper category. But you call it a newspaper.
It's a newspaper, but it comes back to ownership earlier, okay? Because our stakeholders, it's the state government. We have to present the views of the state government. We have to ensure that we have fair coverage of all the different political elements in the state. So, yes, that center spread, yes, at times it does look like it's, you know, it's a newsletter, but it's the only space that we have to have a collage, a weekly collage of what's happening with everyone, just little bits, snips and snaps.
You're listening to Chief Editor of Slang Okini, Cecilia Alphonsus. We'll be back with more on Pressing Matters. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. I'm Sharad Kutin, with me, Melissa Idris. And it's Pressing Matters. And our guest today is Chief Editor of Slang Okini, Cecilia Alphonsus. We were just talking about where these media products that you produce lie.
Actually, I wanted to ask you, Cecilia, because, you know, we were talking a little bit earlier about sensationalism. Mm-hmm. And sensationalism sells, so to speak. So if you're trying to stay away from sensationalism, what kind of circulation or coverage do you have? I mean, do you have numbers on in terms of how many people pick up the paper and how many people read it? Where can someone pick up a Slang Okini newspaper?
Well, usually by the time the Slang Okini newspapers, they are distributed, they're already picked up within a couple of days.
As in from online?
Well, people can go online and download an e-copy. But our copies are distributed to all the pusat khidmat, the service centres, the community centres, masjids, shopping centres.
What's your circulation like?
Weekly, 250,000 for the Malay paper.
Right. And yeah. What does that cost the Selangor State Government? I mean, on a monthly basis or annual basis, this communication strategy of it?
We are operating on a grant, which just basically covers our cost of running the operation and our printing and distribution costs, which basically is annually about 11 million.
11 million ringgit. Okay, maybe we come back to the question of, you know, what exactly you're trying to communicate. We're very interested in, say, the Mantri Besar of Selangor, Azmin Ali.
Yes.
We've been trying to get him on air for the last 2 years. And I must say, this is not a gripe, just that he's not been the most forthcoming when it comes to communicating to our audience, which are largely, I imagine, Pakatan Harapan or Pakatan Rakyat supporters or the middle, chattering middle classes are very interested to engage with him. Mm-hmm. In dealings with him, is it been difficult to get him to communicate in a free and open fashion?
The Menteri Besar, he's a man that is focused on doing work. He isn't the kind that is interested in communicating with people as in, you know, telling people, oh, this is what I do, this is how I am. He's the kind of a guy who is on the ground and doing things and getting things done. For him, he believes at the end of the day, what speaks is not what he says about himself, but what benefit that the people receive. So at the end of the day, for him, the communication comes from how happy the people are, how they have been helped.
That's a good save.
But it's also very idealistic. And I don't think it's limited to us, though, Sharad, because if you do look at the papers and how Azmin Ali has been reported, it's almost never a direct one-on-one interview. It's always, you know, quotes picked up at a press conference or in his speech or even tweets. You know, his tweets get reported quite widely in the alternative media. So it really does, for me, seem that he's not going out seeking media coverage. It just
he's not just
avoiding us.
But you know, but it seems this is the problem, because the business of politics is partly a issue of communication
and visibility.
Yeah, and persuading people. So, you know, you're going out there and you're talking about your programs, and might be a good segment of the population that doesn't agree with you. And so the act of persuading people of the value of your programs, of what vision you have for the state, I mean, surely that demands that you communicate, that you don't just tweet out, because that's a kind of a, you know, old style 20th century unidirectional kind of communication style.
Is there interactivity, do you find, with communication with the Menteri Besar's office and Selangorians?
I believe that the Menteri Besar, he is available, actually. You know, if you, what he actually steers away from is being hounded about sensationalist issues. But if you would like to engage him to talk about policy, to talk about what he's doing for the state, and it's properly communicated to his office, you know, that is what you want to do, he is willing. But many times, you know, media being media, you know, they say, okay, we want to do this, blah, blah, blah. And then as soon as they get him, it's talking about, you know, recent...
His nephew's arrest.
Yes, and things like that, or his brother. And it's like, you know, at the end of the day, it's like, oh my God, I have 24 hours in a day. I've got so much to do. There are so many things that needs to be done, balancing so many issues. If you want to engage with us, he's happy to.
At one point, I think he did tweet out or announce his phone number to
people. When he just came in. Yeah,
I think he did that too. But the I also noticed you have an Aduan Rakyat kind of click through that is on your website, and that encourages people to complain if they have any thoughts or comments or something.
About the communication, about communication with the people in Selangor, a lot of people are now coming to Media Selangor and airing their opinions, you know, their unhappiness or their complaints. So we have become the nucleus, the receiving platform for all these complaints. And so what we do is that we channel it to the right party.
What do people complain about the most?
Usually, okay, where can they get, you know, more Selangor Kini copies? But the usual complaints before was about, you know, waste management and things like that. But which the past year, we have done considerably well with KDB Waste Management taking over some of the waste management issues in some of the local councils. With the development of the Smart Selangor Delivery Unit, Command Center, all these issues and complaints have actually reduced tremendously. You know, where at one time we used to get like hundreds of complaints within a day, now it's just like maybe one or two.
You know what's interesting, Melissa, is that, you know, there's always this criticism that government gets reduced to the cleanup of the longkang issue.
The potholes.
The potholes. So, you know, governments love doing this, taking complaints and then, you know, responding to that. But they're not that willing to get in deeper conversations about the means and ends of government, about policy, and certainly, you know, not wanting to take up controversial issues. And that seems where they're more shy to communicate. And, you know, I wonder if that this isn't yet another problem. The Selangor State Government, now into its second term, it's sort of mimicking the kind of governance style that we see in the rest of the country, you know. Again, this real failure to communicate.
What would you like them to communicate, Sharad?
Well, you know, have a mature discussion about policy. Talk about, say, for instance, what was going through their minds when that whole KIDEX controversy happened. And there was a lot of confusion, a lack of clarity when KIDEX was raised as an issue by many communities. And again, actually, you can mention quite a few. The issue really is the defense that Azmin Ali's office would give, that he's a man who's busy, he's always doing things, seems to me fails to recognize that there's a need for a conversation.
I understand, Sharad. Actually, this is something that Media Selangor would be happy to explore with BFM, where we can maybe collaborate on a platform together to talk about the issues that you want to talk about.
Sounds like a plan.
Especially in the run-up to the next general election. Now, speaking of which, what is the plan for Selangor Kini with the next general elections coming up?
You also have the TV Selangor as well.
So, but that's not under you.
No, that is.
Oh, I see.
That is headed by another gentleman.
Okay.
Yeah.
But so is there any plans or strategy going into GE14?
Between TV Selangor and Selangor?
Well, in general for Media Selangor.
Well, Media Selangor will be fully on board for the general election. Collaboration we are open to collaboration with any media party that is interested to collaborate with us. But we are all, you know, focused on getting the message out, getting our people on the ground, getting, you know, exposure for all the different parliamentary zones.
Will you be staying away from politics and still be focusing on policy?
We have a different strategy coming up for the run-up. So when it happens, you can see.
Oh. Okay, just very quickly, if you can tell us, this government was Pakatan Rakyat for a term and a half before it became Pakatan Harapan Plus PAS. Now, it's slightly confusing for many of us trying to understand, going through the next general elections, what is it that the voters of Selangor are going to be faced with? Is it a Pakatan Harapan versus Barisan Nasional, or and how do we deal with the plus bit of it?
The pass bit or the plus?
The plus pass. Because it's kind of Pakatan Harapan plus, isn't it?
I think the focus of every Selangorian, and I believe many Malaysians out there, is basically to focus on voting in a government that is going to bring about good change. A government that is people-centric, a government that is looking for development, not at the cost of the rakyat. So I think that should be the focus. We should be looking at the broader picture, not at this point, not looking at minor details.
Okay, not the minor details, but tell us, one minor detail, what is the website for Selangor Kini and for TV Selangor? We can just, so our listeners know.
You can get us on selangorkini.my. On Twitter, we are media_Selangor. You can watch us on selangortv.my, and you can follow us on Media Selangor on our FB.
Brilliant. All right. Thank you so much for coming, Cecilia. It's been
a pleasure speaking with you, Melissa.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sharon.
You've been listening to Pressing Matters, and that was Cecilia Alfonsus, Chief Editor of Selangor Kini. The news bulletin at 10 is coming up in just a few minutes. I'm Sharad Kutin. With me, Melissa Idris, signing off for The Morning Run, only on BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.